Please stand on your feet for the reading of the word. I'll be reading out the New Living Translation of the Bible, Matthew 25. Amen. And I don't usually read a lot of scriptures, but today I'm going to read a lot of scriptures for just the sake of context. I'm going to start at verse number 14. Y'all got it? Amen. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on this trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. Amen. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. Amen. More money. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their masters returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Script of verse 24. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from his servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use it well, what they are given, even more will be given to them, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." Verse 15, one more time. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. I just want to preach from the subject title. This is our theme for quarter number 4. Our quarter number 4, our theme is going to be activate. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, Pastor Jay is going to preach from the subject title, activate." Turn to somebody else and say, "Pastor Jay is going to preach, activate." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my redeemer. Teach us your way, O Lord, and we will keep it until the end. Jesus tells us another parable to illustrate how the kingdom of God operates. We've been talking about the kingdom of God. We left off last week, and then on Tuesday, we talked about why Jesus used parables and the significance of those parables. A parable were stories used by Jesus to illustrate a spiritual truth that represented something in the physical. Can I take my time today? In other words, Jesus would use something that the listener was familiar with to explain a truth that they were not familiar with. The kingdom of heaven represented and had eternal implications, a tangible kingdom that will be established upon the return of Jesus Christ. It also represents a present kingdom that is resident among those who have declared him Lord of their lives. Anybody declared him Lord of your life? The kingdom of heaven has a ruler. The kingdom of heaven has rules, and the kingdom of heaven has subjects. These rules of the kingdom living can be referred to God's ways of doing things. Kingdom living is neither popular nor is it convenient. Kingdom living is different from what the way you and I naturally think. So Jesus tells this parable that gives us an expectation that God demands something from the believer. Tell your neighbor, God demands something of the believer. So through this parable, Christ communicates to the believer that we must be ready for his return. He gives us the analogy of a man who goes on a long trip. In theological terms, this long trip represents the church age. We are now in what theologians call the church age. The church age represents the gap and the layover between Christ's first coming and his second coming. That during the church age, the tangible progression of the kingdom of God on earth will be through the local church. Christ indicated that the activity of his kingdom would not die, but will be alike because he is still alive. It indicates that Christ is still active, that he is still alive in the lives of men. How many people believe that today? Napoleon Bonaparte, the French emperor, once wrote about Christ, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is not a man. Superficial minds see a resemblance between Christ and the founders of emperors and the gods of other religions. That resemblance does not exist. There is between Christianity and whatever other religions, the distant infinity. His religion is a revelation from an intelligence which certainly is not that of man. Alexander the Great, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself have founded empires, but upon what foundation did we rest the credits and the laurels of our genius? Upon force. But Jesus Christ founded his upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him." Napoleon Bonaparte, who was not believed to actually be a believer, even he said that it is something about this Jesus. So John 14 and 12, Jesus says, "Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than me, because I am going to the Father." So Christ literally indicates that the work does not stop because he went to the Father. As a matter of fact, he indicates that the work will continue even greater because he went to the Father. Here it is. Christian living is not about what you do for God. It's about what God does through you. And so it's not about me trying to live for God. It's about me submitting to God and allowing Christ to live on the inside of me. Y'all missed that, man. That's a good point. Because we've been trying to do stuff out of our own strength. God never calls us to do out of our own strength. All he calls us to do is to submit our wills to him, and he will do the rest. Y'all still with me? So let me give you 3 points about being activated. Number one, I'm activated because of the investment. I'm activated because of the investment. Tell your neighbor, "I have an investment." Tell your neighbor, "I have an investment." Verse 14, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Jesus gives this parable to explain the kingdom of heaven. He tells them that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes on a long trip and leave some money to his servants. This long trip that is indicated in the text alludes to Christ dying, being raised from the grave, and ascending to heaven. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. With the promise that he would return again. Jesus gives the indication that the trip would seem long to you and I. And the man never tells his servant when he is actually coming back, but only that he is coming back, which tells us that even if it seems like he's not coming back, he's already told us that it's going to seem long to us, but be ready because he is coming back. But what should make us excited is that he said that he entrusted his money to his servants while he was gone. The terminology was a talent, which was a unit of money within that context. But the story strives to teach us more than money management, but the story strives to teach us kingdom management. It's more than money, but God has given us all something to steward. It gives us an indication that we should be activated because we have been entrusted with something from God. He's given us time. He's given us talent. He's invested in us treasure that has been entrusted to us. He's given each one of us a spiritual gift to steward, not for our story, but his glory. That's the good news. Kingdom living would we get us that the man who went on the long trip gave his servant a gift to steward. Now, check this out. Not for their ownership, but because of his ownership. Kingdom living would suggest that the man who went on the long trip, who gave the money, but he was still the owner of the money. The issue that we run into is when we begin to believe that what God gave us, it is ours and not to be steward for his glory. If you really understand who you are in Christ, you ain't got no money. If you really truly understand what you have in Christ, you ain't got no time. You are on his time. Come on, somebody. If we really truly understand what we have in Christ, everything that he has given to us is for us to steward for his glory and not our story. So if God gave it to you, he gave it to you to give it back. He entrusted you with whatever he has and blessed you with. Stewardship was always his plan. Even in the garden in Genesis before Adam, God said that he didn't allow it to rain. That he literally held back the rain because there was not a man to till the ground. Stewardship is so serious to God that he says that some stuff I can't send until I got somebody who can take care of it. Because he is eternal, it means that all of us have been given something to steward. Ain't that good news? All of us have been given a gift. All of us have been given an assignment. All of us have purpose in this life. I may not have what you have, but I have something to give. That you are special, that no one else specifically like you. No one else can do just like what you do. That ought to make you shout when you think about the God of the universe, the God of creation gave you something, and it's specifically just like you. That ought to make you stop comparing yourself to everybody else and trying to figure out how many likes you got on Facebook or how many unlikes you got. And you ought to say, thank you. God gave me something that's specifically just for me. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. That ought to make you arrogant, just halfway arrogant, just to know that what God gave me can't nobody do. Can't nobody do it just like me. Is anybody can testify and say that I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. I ain't depressed. I ain't gonna put a bullet in my head because God gave me. It don't matter if you ain't feeling me, God's feeling me. It don't matter if you don't want me, God wants me. Is anybody can testify and say that what God has for me is for me? I ain't got all y'all yet. I ain't got. Touch your neighbor and say, God is fearfully and wonderfully made. You are special. You don't need your affirmation from a job. You don't need your affirmation from a school. You don't need your affirmation from a woman, from a man. You have all the affirmation you have when God woke you up this morning and started you on your way and gave you another chance, that you are special and you have been entrusted with a gift and you have something to give. I wish somebody would get happy about the fact and look back over your life that I have something to give. And I may not look like you. I may have less hair than you, but I'm still special. I may not be able to wave my hair in the wind, but I'm still special. Amen, lights and walls. I'm still special. I ain't comparing myself to anybody else, so I can appreciate you because what God has for me is for me. And so we spend all of our time comparing ourselves when God has entrusted you with something special. God has entrusted you with something great. It's like the old Superman movies is an example. Clark Kent was a normal newspaper reporter. He was shy with a lot of insecurities. But when there was danger, something activated, something on the inside of Clark Kent. And Clark Kent would become Superman. And all of us was given an assignment from God. As a matter of fact, your birth was activated by a problem in the earth realm. And I don't know what year you born. Maybe it was 1990. Maybe it was 1996. Maybe it was 1975. I don't know what year you was born. But whatever the year you were born, something happened in the earth realm that activated your birth that you specifically have the answer to. Anybody can testify and say, I may look like Clark Kent, but I'm Superman on the inside. I'm Superman on the inside. Amen to that. Like, I give him glory. But can't nobody do what I do. I don't know what your gift is. I don't know what God's called you to do. But can't nobody do what you do, how you do it, when you do it, the way that you do it. Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm doing the best I can. Anybody can just take a praise break moment and say that I am gifted. I'm special. I got something ain't nobody else got. Watch this. Not only I activated of the investment, but secondly, I'm activated for progress. I'm activated for progress. Yeah, I got something. God gave me something that he gave nobody else. Verse 15, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, divided in proportion to their abilities. Now check this out. He then left on his trip. Jesus says that the man gave to something to each one of his servants. But each person didn't get the same amount. One servant got 5 bags. The next servant got 2 bags. And the last servant got 1 bag. Each servant received a bag. But each servant didn't get the same thing. They got different amounts. The Bible says that he gave, check this out, to each one according to his or her ability. Which means that if one was given something more than the other, it was God's business and not your business. Which means that comparison is useless. In this day of social media and media, we can always find someone who has a bigger car, someone who seems to have a better family, someone who has more money, someone we always comparing ourselves. Stop comparing yourself to others because you don't know their story. Stop comparing yourself when God has an assignment for you. Your assignment is not your assignment is not my assignment, but your assignment is good. I remember a couple of years ago, man, like, you know, I was like, man, I'm a pretty good preacher, especially when I, you know, when I concentrate on preaching really good. Amen. And you know, so like my friends and stuff, they was getting invitations to preach here and stuff like that or whatever. And I was like, man, like, I ain't getting invitations or whatever. And then I asked God, like, you know, I want to preach out and, you know, do revivals and stuff. And then, Tasha, this is what's a funny thing. God sometimes gives you what he know you don't want just to test you. And so then I started getting all of these invitations. And can I just tell you, I didn't hate my life, but I almost hated my life. Like, I got another one to do. I ain't even enjoy it because that's not my calling. That's not why God gave me the gift that he called me to do. I don't enjoy to preaching to a bunch of people that I don't know and I can't see them live right. I want to see the folks that I preach to. I want to see them grow and live right. That's my gift. That's what God has called me to do. I know my gift, and it's okay to know what you called to do. Yeah, like somebody lead a church, they like, Pastor Jay, I'm leaving because you're just not a good preacher, or we don't have this, or we don't have that. I'm like, okay, that's great, or whatever. Somebody come and they like, Pastor, I'm leaving the church because you're not teaching well. I'm like, okay, hold up. Like, you just, cause that's my gift. I ain't arrogant, but that's what God created me to do, is to teach the Bible. That's what he created me to do. Preach, Pastor Jay. God has given you something that you can do better than the majority of the people that you know. Matter of fact, he gave you something to bless the people that you are connected to. Come on, somebody. He gave you something so that you can use for his glory and for the edification of somebody else. And so watch this. It's a lot of times we sit on what God has called us to do, but we miss out on seeing God move in our lives and in others' lives because we don't want to risk. We don't want to risk it. So check this out. The text says that he saved to each one according to his own ability. He means that the owner expectations was based off of what he gave the servants. In other words, God doesn't expect you to produce what he didn't give you. Check this out. He also expects us to grow into our potential. Check this out, y'all. The one who was given 5 talents produced 10. The one who produced 2 talents produced 4. In other words, this is a revelation. They started with less than their ability, but was given according to their ability. Don't miss that. They started with less than their ability, but they were given according to their ability. Somebody right now, you're feeling stuck and uncomfortable with the season God has for you. Maybe the job seems small. Maybe the ministry seems like a tight fit. Maybe the situation that you are in seems like a tight fit. Could God's way of blessing you not be by moving you, but by growing you? Could it be that God is trying to currently grow you past your problems? Could it be that God is trying to grow you past your difficulties? My son Solomon, man, when I take him somewhere, he likes doors. So he always try to open the doors. And so, you know, 2 years ago, he would go open the door. He'd be pulling on it and pulling on it, and I would help him with it. And then last year, he would be pulling on it, but he would strain it and get it open, those big old doors. But now, man, he is 8 years old. He walks up to the door. He pulls on that thing, and he yanks that thing open. Why? Because he grew past the problem of open doors. Could it be that God is trying to grow you past some difficulties? Could it be he's trying to grow you past some situations on the job? Could it be that he's trying to grow you up past some situations in school? Could it be that he's trying to grow you past some stuff? Could it be that the answer is not moving, but to grow up past your difficulties? Watch the text. The text says one of the things that we know about the talents was that it was a talent was a unit of wages. I'm almost done. Y'all get anything out of this? But this unit of wages was not a small amount, but this unit of wages was the equivalent, check this out, of 6,000 days or about 20 years of income for an average laborer. Somebody say that was a lot. So watch this. Don't be distracted by the fact that some have more than you, but be encouraged that whatever God gave you, it's enough. A man's gifts make room for him and brings him in front of great men. It's enough. I'm at the point in my life when I'm not asking God to bless me with more. I'm like Jabez. My prayer is that you would bless me to take what I got and enlarge my territory. Anybody can say and look back over their life and just be real and realize that God gave me some opportunities. God gave me some shots, and I messed up because I was looking for more, and I didn't maximize the moment. I didn't maximize the relationship. I didn't ask the questions. I didn't raise my hand. Anybody can testify and just be say thankful that God, I have not maximized what you have given me. You gave me a gift. You gave me an assignment, and I didn't go, I ain't got everybody today. Listen, I need to activate you today. Anybody can be real in this place and look back and say, I got some regrets because God gave me something and I realized that I blew an opportunity. Is there 3 people in here that can be real and say, I blew an opportunity? I blew a relationship. I blew a circumstance. It could have been me, but God gave it to me, but I blew it because I did not maximize what God gave me. Is anybody here that got enough humbleness to say that God has given me enough? If he don't give me no more, God has given me enough. God has given me enough. So my testimony today should be, God, show me how to maximize what you gave me. Show me how to grow past my problems. Show me how to maximize on the job. You ain't got to take me off the job. Just show me how to deal with the people on my job. Give me some peace. Give me some stuff. Let me grow past the issues on my job. Preach, Pastor Jay. God, I know in this season that you want me to be in school and it's hard for me, but in this season, can you give me the grace that I need to handle what you have given me? Anybody in a season right now, and you know that you won't be moved, but you know that God will give you enough grace, that his grace is sufficient for you in that season. Man, I wish I could preach to some real people this morning who can say, I'm in some situations, I'm in some circumstance, and I need some grace. I need God to fill me. I need God to grow me. As a matter of fact, I know he can do it. Watch this, because he did it for Moses. Man, y'all remember when Moses, man, listen, Moses had an assignment from God. Y'all assignment from God, and Moses like, man, I can't talk. I can't do this. They ain't going to believe me. They ain't going to trust me or whatever. And God said, what's in your hand? And he took the staff and threw it down. And then he told, listen, I am Jehovah Jireh. I will provide your needs. I am Elohim. And the text is teaching us today is, what is in our hand? What has God already given us that he's going to bless us with? It may not be another door. Maybe the door is already open and he's ready for you to maximize what's in your hand. Is anybody can testify and say, I don't need another spouse. I don't need another spouse. I just need to love the spouse I got. I don't need another job. I just need to work hard on the job I got. I don't need another church. I just need to open up my Bible and pray and be active in the church that I'm at. Is anybody can testify and say, I'm going to maximize what I have? All right, so watch this as the last thing. Check this out. Not only am I activated because of the investment, but lastly, I'm activated beyond what's comfortable. I'm activated beyond what's comfortable. I'm done. To the servant who buried his talent, buried his money, his reasons made a lot of sense. He says, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Instead of taking a risk and gaining more on the investment the master gave them, this young man buried it. Burying the money was a common practice at that time, and it was considered to be wise. It was considered wise in order to keep the investment. But check this out. Just because it was common and acceptable to everybody else does not mean that the young man was thinking kingdom. Just because it's accepted by men does not mean that it was kingdom. The problem was that the man expected a return on the investment. The question is, who gave it to you? Yeah, who gave it to you? The man gave it. He expected a return on his investment. But check this out. This young man went and buried his talent. And then he says, well, I knew that you were a harsh man and that you would be angry if I lost your money. That, y'all, check this out. I'm almost done. That was more about him and not the master. It was about his comfort and not the master's production. In other words, he didn't do with what God gave him because he didn't want to risk it all. He didn't want to take a chance. In other words, he was scared to fail. He was scared to look bad. He was scared to be ridiculed, so he didn't risk it all. A lot of us are going to get to the gates, and God is going to ask us, what did we do with what I gave you? And we are going to start, instead of telling him that I gave you return, I did this, I did that, this is what I did, what you gave me. Instead, we're going to start naming names. Well, you know I couldn't do that because of my mama. You know I couldn't do that because my daddy walked out on me. You know I couldn't do. At what point in your life is his grace enough and we stop making excuses and you get done something in this earth Come on, somebody. At what point do we stop being scared to do what God's called? At what point do we stop blaming other people for dropping the ball? At what point do we take responsibility for the callings and the directions on our own life? Who gave it to you? The boss didn't give it to you. God gave it to you. Pastor Jay didn't give it to you. God gave it to you. And here's the thing, is that God never asks you to do something that he know that you can't do. He never asks you to do something that he knows that you can't do. So the question is, who gave it to you? I got something special on the inside of me. I got a vision. I got a dream to do something. At what point do I risk it all? At what point do I care and not care about what people say about me? At what point do I care more about hearing him say, well done, than I care about the criticism that others have? Man, I'm at a point in my life, like, I can care less. As long as I know I'm obeying God, I can care less about what somebody say about me, what somebody think about me, what rumors you start, because I'm at a point in my life, I'm 40 now, I'm trying to hear him say, well done. Yeah, I'm trying to finish the race. Come on, somebody. Especially if you don't put food on my table. Especially if you won't provide for me. Come on, somebody. Especially if you didn't wake me up this morning. Especially if you ain't my peace. Especially if you ain't my joy. Especially if you can't do nothing for me but talk about me. I ain't worried about it. Come on, somebody. Is anybody can testify and say, I ain't holding back because of criticism, because now I'm going for everything that God has told me to do, because I want to hear him say, well done. Somebody in here right now, you know God's telling you to step out, risk it all, start the business. You know he's telling you to start the ministry. He's telling you to join the ministry, whatever it is. He's saying risk it all. At what point do we stop making excuses? So the text tells us that to please the man, you got to take a risk. I don't know what that is, but I guess they just want me to sing. Amen. Praise God. If y'all want me to sing, y'all just could have just said, Pastor, can you sing a song? Anybody can testify and say, I may be laughed at, but I want to hear well done. Come on, seriously. Come on, stand to your feet. I may have to suffer a little while, but I want to hear well done.